This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From One World Trade Center in Manhattan, this is the New Yorker Radio Hour, a co-production of The New Yorker and WNYC Studios.
This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm David Remnick. We've been talking this hour about guns, gun regulation and gun rights, and the shifting politics that affects so many people's lives. These conversations often focus around the plague of mass shootings. But in many communities across the country, gun violence unfolds not as a shocking horror, but as a matter of awful routine. And gun control, possible or not, isn't going to change that.
People come to Chicago, but they don't really go into the community. You know, you were talking about guns and all this legislation. That doesn't do nothing for us over here. That doesn't mean anything for us. Because you'll hear about the way most of the guns in this community are stolen, you know? This is the real world you're going to see.
Lupe Cruz works for an organization called Cure Violence. The group trains mediators to intervene in disputes and break the cycle of violence. Mediators like Lupe will show up to a funeral or right after a shooting takes place and talk to the people who are most likely to retaliate and try to convince them not to. And when it comes to gun violence, Cruz has suffered enough to know what she's talking about. The Radio Hour's Caroline Lester went to talk with Lupe Cruz.
Hi.
Hi. Finally get to meet
it's
you,
so
right?
It's so good to meet you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, my car didn't start, so I had to borrow my daughter's truck.
Oh.
So right now we're going to go. This is the community I grew up in.
Lupe's driving me around Little Village. It's about 8 miles from downtown Chicago.
This is 26th Street. This is the main street of Little Village. I grew up on this side, which is the west side of Little Village, and after we cross a certain street, we're on the east side. When I became older, I wound up having a business on the east side, so it was kind of weird.
It was a candy store and arcade that she opened with her husband. This is back in the 80s. The neighborhood kids would come to play Pac-Man, and she made friends with them.
They were my kids. I remember I used to take them home with me. I used to get in trouble with my husband. Like, what are you doing? I used to give everything away. I was always in trouble.
That's kind of how Lupe started doing mediation. She had connections on both sides of Little Village. She had been in a gang when she was young, and much later, she lost her husband in a robbery. Lupe had the credibility to talk people out of using their guns. And that's the work she was eventually hired to do. This is supposed to be Lupe's day off, but she's on a mission. A young couple named Anna and Louis left their home after somebody tried to kill Louis. But now, they can't pay their motel bill.
They have to be out of this place by 11. She's ready to give birth.
Where are they going to go?
So, I'm going to pay for another week for them to stay there until I figure out what I can, you know, what I can do from there.
The organization Lupe works for, Cure Violence, has been very successful in Chicago. But when it doesn't work, that's someone in your community who gets shot. Maybe someone you know. Last November, she got a call about a young man named Josh. She'd known him since he was a little kid. Josh was in a conflict, and his brother asked Lupe to step in. But when she went to go pick him up, he was shot, right outside his door.
It happened right in front of me.
Yeah.
I remember. I opened the door and threw myself on the floor. I'm old already. I can't even, you know. I prayed when I was on the floor. And I said, shit, this is not the way I want to go up. I was hearing the gunshots in front of me. So I didn't know if they had jumped down, they were going to kill all of us. I didn't know where it was at that moment, you know. So I was on this side. I had opened this door. I didn't have my truck that day. They know my truck. I was in a rental.
You think they wouldn't have shot?
They know my truck. I always wonder. That's something that I feel like everybody knows my truck. That day I didn't have my truck. I don't know if it would have made a difference, but I know the guys know my truck, and they wouldn't disrespect me that way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see if Pastor Rick's here. Let's go into church real quick.
Hey, how are you?
Hi. All right, where are we right now?
We're at La Villita Community Church. So it's I love this place. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
Victor Rodriguez,
nice
how are
to
you?
Meet you.
The pastor is going to give Lupe money from the church's emergency fund to help Anna and Luis, the couple from the motel. But Lupe also just needs to talk. She's been struggling since Josh was killed. It was just a few months ago.
Pastor Vic also seen Josh grow up. You know, I think this was personal for all of us.
It was. I mean, his death is personal because we saw him since he was a little kid, and one of the funny stories that I told at his funeral was that, you know, no matter how he was, he'd show up to church. You know, I mean, he showed up with a broken jaw one time, and he was wired, and he said, well, at least I'll lose weight, you know, and but he was a kid with a soft heart. He was a kid with truly a soft heart, and they leave a ripple effect behind mothers and brothers and friends, and you know, there's a void, somebody has been stolen.
It was just like, because I deal with this all the time, this was just different. Well, a lot of times we just move on, we do funerals, and go back to our regular routine. But, you know, I think some of these things make us feel like I can't do it no more.
I couldn't get anybody to come out and sign a check, so it's cash. Yeah.
And
I don't sign checks, so.
And I'll bring the receipt so you can have it for your thing.
After we talk, Pastor Vic brings Lupe the money. We leave the church and head over to meet Anna, Luis, and their kids. Lupe brought a pile of toys.
Just like my mom, because my mom's not here.
She takes care of you?
Yeah, and my kids.
And what kind of stuff has she done with you?
The real stuff, like telling you to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, she yells at us.
The nice stuff.
She yells at us if she sees us outside where we're not supposed to be.
Or being strapped up when you're not supposed to be loose. Strapped up means when they're carrying a gun and they shouldn't be.
I finally got the story of what happened. Last month, a rival gang shot at Lewis while he was standing outside of his house, in his own territory. Lupe mediated, she told him not to retaliate, and she talked to the other gang, who said they wouldn't come back. But Lewis and Anna were still scared, and they left their home. That's why they're here.
Was that the first time you'd been shot at your house?
No.
That's the
truth. Nah. Hell, nah. It was like the second time. But right there, yeah, right there at that apartment, yeah, it's the second time.
Did you have a problem with your gang if you had to leave? If you had to choose your family?
Nah, I mean, I'm still, I am what I am, you know what I'm saying? But I'm making better decisions, you know what I'm saying? I'm not in the blocks, I'm not causing trouble or looking for trouble, you know? I'm trying to be a family man now.
We gotta go. I have to go meet up with somebody. Give her a hug. I'm gonna come back and bring you your stuff, okay?
Tell her thank you for your toys. Give her a hug.
So that's why they had to move. I didn't realize that.
We're gonna start up it. He would have wound up in jail. Or he would have killed someone.
Did you used to be in a gang?
Yes. Yeah, it was that girl.
Yeah. Right, Anna.
That was Anna. I get it. I understand. I know what it feels like. Not to have, to need, to want. That was me. So I get it. I come from there. And I know that you can make it out. I know everything she's going through, she's going to use it to help somebody else. You know? I believe it. That was me. You just have to believe in them. Look at their life. Look at the way, look at how cold it is. They would have been in the street today with them kids. It's hard living that life when you don't have support from your family. Their family don't support them. So what do they do? I'm going to tell you what he would do if we didn't help him. He'd grab a gun and go rob people. You know, the real world, that's what he would do. And it's sad because he could kill somebody for $8 like they did to my husband. You know?
But it doesn't seem to make you mad at him.
I'm not mad at him because he's just trying to survive.
We're coming up on our last stop. Lupe needs to drop off food for a friend who got out of prison. She's got tostones and containers of soup in the back. After this, she'll go home to be with her daughter and grandson. She sees her 7 grown children all the time. She's built a stable life. But the phone calls at 3 in the morning don't stop. And today, she's been driving around since 9 a.m. and it's minus 10 outside. She tells me she feels old.
Do you ever get scared?
I'm not scared. I was scared that day with Josh. They jumped out. They killed him in front of me, you know. So, this is the work we do, you know. Man, I need to pass my torch over. I'm tired. You have the kids that still depend on us, you know.
Yeah.
They have the calls. That sometimes you look at it and you say, damn, should I answer? And if you don't, you know, what if something happens? It's hard.
It's a very heavy weight to walk around with every day.
I think it's become a norm for us, for me. You know, this is... It's a hard job. But when you come from the street, you get it, you know? Hey. I'm on my way there to drop off some food. I'll be there in about 15 minutes. All right.
Lupe Cruz in Chicago. She works for the organization Cure Violence, running their mediation programs in Latin America. Caroline Lester produces for us at the New Yorker Radio Hour. And that's our show for today. I'm David Remnick, and I want to thank you for joining us.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is a co-production of WNYC Studios and The New Yorker. Our theme music was composed by Meryl Garbus of Tune Yards. Special music used in this episode is courtesy of the composer and guitarist, Ben Maunder. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported in part by the Tarina Endowment Fund.